Circuits are busy now. Will you please try your call again later?
Monday, the 21st of December. I just want to let everyone know that Fanny Bryce Food Mall opens between 12 and 6. The only day it's going to be closed are Christmas Day and New Year's Day. Otherwise, it'll be open between 12 and 6. Thanks again for calling the FSA Meal Line.
Did you know that every telephone in Sarajevo is busy? Listen, and you'll hear. As if they didn't have enough to worry about. Hello, operator.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could tell me what day it is.
Today is Sunday.
Is that Sunday night or Sunday morning?
Sunday morning.
You sure? I've got a bet riding on this. You sure about that?
Yes, I am.
It's not still Saturday night?
No.
Okay, thank you. Did you ever notice that there's no 976 number to call to find out what day it is?
Telephone Whitney speaking.
Hello, I need the number for the day, please.
Which number do you like?
The number for the day.
Oh, the time of day?
No, the day.
Okay, let's take this from the beginning. This is a business call of the day?
No, I'm trying to... The 976 number to find out what day it is.
Okay. One second, please.
Thank you.
The number.
The number is 976-1616.
That's the time.
976.
I'll say it slowly. I know what it is.
1-6. If you need further assistance, a directory assistance operator will return.
I don't like being treated like a dummy.
Your telephone, Mr. Chaffee. Did you receive your number?
Well, actually, I got the wrong number. I asked for the number for the day, and I got the number for the time.
Okay, the number for the day is 976-6000.
976-6000?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. I don't know about you, but I can't resist this one. But as you know, we can't dial 976 numbers from here, so hold on a minute while I access a computer and cause some mayhem, and then we'll be back. We did it. The same lady I've grown up with.
12:23:53.
It sounds like a cheap variation of the same.
12:24:01 a.m. 12:24:08 a.m.
She's saying am. She's not even saying a.m. She's so stupid she can't even say a.m. I can hardly wait to call her in the PM and find out what she says then. Hmm?
May I help you?
Yes, operator. I think I've been the victim of a mistake. I called earlier, and I asked for the number for the day, and they gave me 976-1616, which is the time. And then when I called them back, they gave me 976-6000, which is another time. But I still don't have the number for the day.
Please help the supervisor.
Thank you. Yes, hi. I keep getting the wrong numbers. I asked for the number for the day, and I got the number for the time, and when I brought that to their attention, they gave me a different number for the same time.
Okay, the number for what, sir, you're asking?
The day of the week.
We don't have such a number.
You don't have a number for the day of the week?
I have a number that tells you the time or the weather or whatever other, but nothing as the day of the week, no.
You see, those numbers, they don't even include within their subject matter what the day is. So if I need to know what day it is, I can't find out. So those numbers are no good for me.
Okay, you'd have to report that to your business office.
I see. Okay, I guess I'll just be forced to do that then.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Good night.
I don't know about you, but I always feel better after having gone straight to the top. Of course, with the phone company, you never go straight anywhere. Even when they want you to go straight to hell, they still have to send you through different extensions to get there. But eventually you wind up someplace, and that's all that matters in the end. Kind of like how things work here. Well, our number is 632-6901, and you know, we still have two open lines. So I don't understand what's going on if our entire audience has been arrested or something. It's quite possible, knowing the kind of people that listen to this show. But if you've never gotten through before, you know, I read the telegrams. I see the public letters in the local newspapers saying how people try until their fingers are blue from pushing those buttons so much, and they just never get through. Well, here's your chance. You can get through now because the lines appear to be open or broken or something. And while you're dialing feverishly to get through to the program, you might ask why. Why get through to the program? Well, we've got a lot of things to talk about, namely, yeah, how was your holiday? We'll talk about that, I suppose. How was your holiday? Fine. Okay, great. Everybody knows how your holiday was. Now we can get on to something real and find out, you know, what's really going on in the world. I mean, what do you think of these pardons all of a sudden? Remember the Iran-Contra scandal? Well, it's become a scandal again. Bush went and pardoned everybody in sight, saying, forget it. It's all history. Of course, he'd like us to forget history as well, but I'm afraid we just can't do that. You know, it's not right. Well, few powers a president can exercise have proved to be as controversial as granting pardons. Presidential pardons wipe out both guilt and punishment, and they restore full civil rights. You know, if we could do that for some races, but I guess that would be too sweeping. George Washington issued the first pardons in 1792, after having failed to defuse a revolt by farmers in Pennsylvania over a federal liquor tax. He granted absolute pardon to the offenders. From Andrew Johnson's pardons of Confederate soldiers to Gerald Ford's pardon of Richard Nixon, grants of clemency often have divided the nation. Congress, prosecutors, and even some of those pardoned have attempted to restrict the power, but the courts have declared that a president's power to grant pardons cannot be restricted. Thursday, as he granted clemency to former Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger and five others for their actions in the Iran-Contra affair, President George Bush looked to the past. He recalled four presidents who had used pardons at the end of wars to end divisiveness. Bush said the pardons he was issuing dated back to James Madison, the fourth president, who granted clemency to pirates who preyed on U.S. shipping during the War of 1812. He also cited in his grant of executive clemency the forgiveness that Johnson offered for his Southern rebels after the Civil War, and Harry Truman's and Jimmy Carter's pardons to draft evaders during World War II and Vietnam. He did not mention what most presidential scholars consider to be the most controversial pardon of all, Gerald Ford's September 8, 1974 pardon of Richard Nixon. That pardon came early in Ford's presidency and contributed to his defeat 2 years later. The power to pardon, contained in Article 2, Section 2, prohibits a president only from blocking an impeachment proceeding. Now, you might be interested to know what kind of pardons there have been in the past. It's kind of interesting. Did you know that Nixon pardoned Jimmy Hoffa? Yeah, he commuted the sentence of labor leader Jimmy Hoffa in 1971. Nixon granted... How many pardons do you think an average president will grant? Well, Nixon granted 863 pardons and 63 commutations. And he became one of those pardons in 1974 when Ford pardoned him. He also pardoned Vietnam draft resistors and deserters, and Eva Taguri Dekino, who during World War II made propaganda broadcasts for Japan as Tokyo Rose. Among the 534 people Jimmy Carter pardoned were Watergate break-in mastermind G. Gordon Liddy. He also commuted the sentence of newspaper heiress and convicted bank robber Patty Hearst. Ronald Reagan granted 393 pardons, including New York Yankees owner George Steinbrenner, for his 1974 conviction of making illegal campaign contributions to Nixon's re-election campaign. It all goes around in a big circle. And Bush has had 38 previous pardons, comparatively little. I mean, Nixon had 863, Bush only had 38. It also included the late industrialist Armand Hammer, you know, the baking soda giant, who was convicted of making illegal campaign contributions related to the Watergate scandal. With Thursday's action, his total number of pardons is 62. I was kidding about the baking soda, by the way. That comes from Newsday, not from the New York Times. A cast of characters who have received pardons. Actually, the people who received pardons on Thursday. And this is interesting. You wonder what kind of people get pardoned. It's not just Jimmy Hoffa and Richard Nixon and Caspar Weinberger. It's a lot more interesting people. For instance, Joseph Baer, who was sentenced in 1963 for stealing 12 six-packs of beer on an Indian reservation in Montana as a teenager. 1963. What do you think it was that made George Bush stand up and take notice of his case? And why would Joseph Baer care? I mean, it's practically 30 years ago. Surely the sentence for stealing a few six-packs is long since over. Although, he is a Native American, so we deal with them a bit more harshly, don't we? It's good for the character. Then there's Thomas Burley Berry. Thomas Burley Berry, as if you don't have enough to worry about with a name like that. Whatever he did, I'm sure it was justified. Well, Thomas Burley Berry, I promise I won't say that again, was a former letter carrier for the Postal Service. He was sentenced to 2 years probation in 1980 for stealing $3.65 from a letter. That's a penny for every day of the year. I'm sure more of a investigation into that would have yielded all kinds of secrets, but we'll never know now. Then there's Robert William Daly Sr., a Jehovah's Witness who declined to report for active military duty in 1943 and was sentenced to 5 years in prison. Well, George Bush has pardoned him, given him a coupon for 5 years of life. And lucky Paul Karsten Fautek, sentenced in 1955 in Kansas to 2 years probation for helping to smuggle illegal aliens into the country. His problems are over. He was pardoned on Thursday. Dale Leonard Fix was also pardoned, but nobody knows what he did. Francine Geiger, sentenced to 3 years probation in 1980 for embezzling more than $1,000 from a savings and loan association where she worked. Why do you think Bush would pardon someone like that? Embezzled more than $1,000. It's okay. Go live long and prosper. Then there's Ivan Leon Gentry, who stole a... These people have the greatest names. Dale Leonard Fix, Ivan Leon Gentry, Robert William Daly, Thomas Burley Berry. What is going on here? I mean, you have to read through several books to find characters with these kind of names. Anyway, Ivan Leon Gentry, who stole a car as a juvenile but has had no arrest record as an adult. Yeah, Joseph Gordon Haney Jr. You notice they all have two syllables in every single name. Well, he was sentenced to 5 years probation for stealing $1,000 from a teller drawer at a Richmond bank where he was a security guard. I guess Bush understands temptation and what it's like to take money from one place and put it in another place. Whether you're taking money from Iran and putting it in Nicaragua, or whether you're taking money from a teller drawer and putting it in your pocket. And then there's Henry Levin, sentenced to 2 years probation, fined $8,000 in Virginia in 1973, after he avoided paying $2,200 in customs duties. Something about that case touched President Bush. I wonder if he's going to get the $8,000 back. Then there's Guillermo Medrano Moreno, sentenced to 2 years in Texas in 1961. don't think he was sentenced to 2 years in Texas. I think he was sentenced in 1961 in Texas to 2 years, presumably in jail. It'd be kind of neat if he got sentenced to 2 years in Texas, but I don't think that's how it's going to work out. But he was sentenced on a narcotics-related charge, and, well, we all know the president is soft on drugs, so that's a free pass for you. Then there's Frank T. Pasini III, sentenced in 1978 while in the Army for arranging for a government informer to buy marijuana and receiving 50 grams of the substance as payment. Donald Reitmeier, given probation in 1984 in Nevada for failing to report that his business partner had gained possession of stolen merchandise. Amazing, you're guilty of a small oversight, and 8 years later, the president is saying your name. Only in America. And, you know, we go back to 1947. Edwin Roberts. I wonder if he's even still alive. I wonder if he's still alive. Well, he was sentenced in Kentucky on a moonshining charge. Moonshining. 1947. And 45 years later, 45 years, George Bush says, it's okay, forget about it. And Patrick James Sheehan, sentenced to 3 years probation in 1981 in Florida, for misappropriating about $7,000 from a New York bank. It's okay. Forget about it. Hildred Earl Spates, charged with theft of government property and sentenced to 6 years in Texas. Again, the sentencing in Texas. Maybe it is a prison. Alfredo Ancinas Villarreal, a Postal Service letter carrier, given probation in 1971 for stealing three letters, all of which were vowels. Hence the severity of the crime. But it's okay. Forget about it. We only have two more. Jack Alvin Walker, a Jehovah's Witness, charged in 1956 with failing to report to active military duty. Him and Robert William Daly Sr., who did the same thing in 1943. Both of whom were pardoned on Thursday. And finally, Carl Frank Westminster Jr., who was sentenced to 5 months in prison for selling an ounce of marijuana. His days of toil are over. And I almost forgot. Caspar Weinberger, former Secretary of Defense, faced a January 5th trial. Ooh, that was close. January 5th trial and felony charges in the Iran-Contra scandal. He rejected the deal of independent counsel Lawrence Walsh. The deal was offered last spring. That deal would have let him plead guilty to a misdemeanor in exchange for information about longtime colleagues, including former President Ronald Reagan. Weinberger had been charged with lying about the existence of 2,000 pages of notes he took in the Iran-Contra affair He had pleaded innocent to all charges and characterized the indictment as a political attack. And also pardoned in that particular case, Elliot Abrams, Robert McFarlane, Alan Fears, Claire George, and Dwayne Claridge. It's all over. Forget about it. But Lawrence Walsh doesn't want to forget about it. He's the guy that's been trying to find out what's going on. Senate Republican leader Bob Dole is accusing Iran-Contra Independent Counsel Lawrence Walsh of trying to turn his own 6 years of incompetence into a personal vendetta against President Bush. Dole says Walsh is completely out of control and should resign immediately. Earlier today, Walsh said he wants to learn the facts behind the new disclosure that Bush had kept notes about the Iran-Contra affair. Walsh refused to say whether he would seek to question Bush. Meanwhile, the prosecutor in the Casper Weinberger case suggests that President Bush granted pardons in the scandal to avoid being called as a witness in Weinberger's trial. Weinberger's lawyer, Robert Bennett, calls the accusation nonsense, poppycock, sour grapes, and something else, but we won't go into that. Yes, it's 12:44. The program is Brain Damage. Good evening to everybody. Good morning, that is. 632-6901 is our telephone number. It's an exciting world, you know. A lot of things going on out there, but you got to keep awake. You have to read the papers and see through the lines. See what's really going on in this Iran-Contra mess. See who's really guilty of horrible war crimes and genocide and things like that in other parts of the world. See where the racists are and see who's fighting it. And whether it's in India, whether it's in Berlin, Sarajevo, or Los Angeles. A lot of bad things going on in the world, and a lot of good things too. But you can't be aware of either one unless you're aware of both. That's just the way it is. Can't believe Time magazine named Bill Clinton as the man of the year. What a wimp. Not Bill Clinton. Time magazine. What a wimp. The people there. What wimps they are, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. I mean, yeah, he won the presidency. That doesn't make him the man of the year. I mean, you know, the guy that's killing all the Bosnians, it may not be a good thing what he's doing, but it's certainly something to give him a dubious distinction of a person moving us closer to the brink than anybody else. Let's get a quick update as to what's going on over there, only because it is of concern to a lot of us. And then we'll take some phone calls. 632-6901. You know, I can't believe we still have one line open. So there's a lucky person out there. You can get in. We'll get to all the calls and see what's happening, how your holiday was, what concerns you in various happenings locally, internationally, globally, and interplanetary. Yugoslav Premier Milan Panish has, I'm going to try to pronounce this right, because I'm always saying panic, and that's not that's how you spell it, P-A-N-I-C, but you say it Panish, or Panish, yeah, something like that. Anyway, the Yugoslav premier has sent lukewarm congratulations to Serb President Slobodan, I'll say this one right too, Milosevic. It's spelled Milosevic, but it's pronounced Milosevic. All right, so let's do this. Yugoslav Premier Milan Panish has sent lukewarm congratulations to Serb President Slobodan Milosevic on his re-election. But, you know, his name sounds a lot better than who he is, this Milosevic character. It's not clear whether Panish plans to challenge the election results. A spokesman also would not say if Panish would try to keep his job under the new nationalist-dominated federal parliament. Panish, a Serbian-born American who has accused Milosevic of vote fraud, had said he would demand a recount. Milosevic, in his first public appearance since the election, went on state television to promise a speedy return to peace and prosperity. Yeah, right. His victory is likely to increase international pressure for foreign intervention in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Milosevic is blamed for instigating the fighting. He's also been named as a war criminal and one that is responsible for genocide and all kinds of other things going on. Didn't think you could get two Hitlers in one century, did you? But just goes to show what happens if you try. The capital of Bosnia-Herzegovina, Sarajevo, remains quiet as hundreds of tons of relief supplies continue to pour in. Many Sarajevans were out searching for water and wood. But there are tensions between the Bosnian government and the UN peacekeepers sent to the Republic to help distribute relief supplies. General Philippe Murillan, the French commander of UN forces, left Sarajevo for a nearby town after mortars landed near his residence on Christmas Day. There's no indication of how long Murillan might stay away. He had blamed the mortar attack on Bosnian forces and demanded an inquiry. In the Bosnian government's first official reaction, an official denied the shells were fired from Bosnian-controlled territory. And finally, and I mean finally, we're getting to the phones right after this. The first openly gay man to be ordained by the Episcopal Church has died in Boston of AIDS-related causes. The Reverend J. Robert Williams was diagnosed with the disease in November 1990, about a year after being ordained in a ceremony protested by the church's conservative wing. He was asked to resign from the clergy after publicly criticizing the church's teachings on sex and marriage, or lack thereof. Williams refused to resign but gave up his position as head of the Oasis, a gay ministry in Hoboken, New Jersey. Among other things, Williams said Mother Teresa would be better off if she had sex. Monogamy was as unnatural as celibacy, and Jesus Christ had a gay lover. Well, now I've heard everything. They wouldn't say what his name was. It caused riots in the street. Okay, it's brain damage. And I'm in the mood, I don't know about you. 632-6901, see you out there. Good morning. How you doing?
All right, matter of fact, sir, and you?
Pretty good. How was your holiday?
Oh, very good, sir. How was yours?
It was pretty good, I guess. You know?
It was good.
Yeah, it was all right.
All right.
Yeah, it was fine.
All right, the purpose of this call, I'm calling about the new year.
Well, yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. There is a new year coming. It's called 1993, I understand.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Looks pretty good for me, sir.
Yeah, there's a system to figuring out what the next year is going to be called. I'll get into that probably next show, but there's a way you can always know so that you don't have to wait for them to announce it on TV.
Yeah. Right.
So it is 1993, the one that lies ahead.
1993 lies ahead.
Yeah, you can write it down because I don't know how many other people on the radio will tell you that.
All right, thanks.
Okay, anything else?
Yes, the New Year is a time of celebration, the spirit of good hope, and the time our family gets together.
I thought that's what Christmas was.
Oh yeah, that's right. You remember me.
And they're only a week apart, you know that?
Yeah, Sambo.
Yeah.
Well, can I tell you what I'm doing on New Year's?
Wait, I gotta check.
With the listeners at home.
Can he tell me that? Yeah, okay, I'm getting a tentative nod that you can tell us that. Go ahead.
Okay, this year I'm having a dingo roast.
And what exactly is that?
Dingo roast is a dog from Australia.
A dog from Australia?
Good eating.
Yeah, okay, I'm sure the dog doesn't quite agree with that, but
Don't worry. They're cannibals. Anyway, my family members, my very good friends, like Steve, Mammy, Pappy, Sammy, Edward, Rufus, Okie, Richie, and Alicia.
Is Sammy there now?
Sammy? No, I don't know where he is.
Did he ever show up?
You know, that might be the reason why he ain't coming to my chicken rib roast or my rump roast.
You know, that would explain it. Okay, so you shot Sammy. That's why he's not around. Okay, at least now I know.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I finally just figured it out.
Yeah, maybe there's some paperwork you have to fill out or something when you do that kind of thing.
Well, anyway, we roast the Alabama dingo and we drink glug and eat grits and peanut brittle.
That's what I like about America. You know, we all celebrate in such festive abandon, you know, or lack of it.
I've never drank glug before.
Did I ever?
Yes.
Drink what?
Glug.
No, I mean, I've made that noise, but I've never...
Did you ever hear glug before?
I've heard something like that, but I don't...
Fine stuff.
It is fine. It sounds fine, but a name like that, you know, it's...
Raisins in it.
There's raisins in it.
Yes, believe me, we have many, mighty tons of raisins.
Uh-huh.
It was great with peanut brittle.
I imagine it does, yeah. Well, you know, raisins are a good all-purpose food, you know, they're...
Yes, I know.
They go with just about everything.
It's your snack.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you're making my mouth water here by telling me these things.
Oh, it's mighty fine good stuff. In fact, I had a gallon of it before.
You know, we're locked here in the radio station, and we can't even get to the vending machines. Apparently, the thought here on campus is that if the vending machines are made available to the people in the radio station, they might break them or something like that, or God forbid, you know, sell them out. So there's vending machines, and you can see them through the window. You know, they're lit up and everything, and they're kept cold and refrigerated. And if you have binoculars, like some of us do, you can look through the glass, and you can actually make out the individual portions as to what particular foods they're selling. And you can see that they're sitting there, and you can read the expiration dates and everything, which are coming up pretty soon. But we can't get to them, and nobody can. Now, I think that's sad, don't you?
I did not know that, sir.
Well, you know, that's just one of the many atrocities that we reveal here on this radio program. And I'm sorry for going on about it like this, but I do feel emotional about it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll send you a bottle for the new year.
Okay, well, that's mighty fine of you, except, of course, it won't get here until probably the new year. But that's okay. It's the thought that counts.
Express.
Yeah, but even that, you know, it's...
Down in Brooklyn. And you could get anything to you in Jiffy.
Yeah, but I mean, I could have cheese waffles right now, but no. They're behind, you know, padlocked glass and bars and electrified fences and things.
Oh, believe me, I got relatives that could get anything in seconds.
Uh-huh.
Anything.
Well, can they transport them?
Well, Nick, he could transport things from his nose and pop it out of his mouth.
Well, ask if he can beam it directly to the bridge, and we'll give him credit if he does.
Hey, if he does, I'd pay him 54 silver pieces. I'd be sure of it.
Silver pieces. Now, there's a term I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, it's a mighty fine term. My family members and I and all my good friends, we use that.
Okay.
Never heard of a dollar before.
Well, I haven't heard of one in a while, actually.
Me but, either. Yeah, you know
they're still around from what I hear.
Yes. Oh, and I saw a few good men.
Where'd you see them? I saw a few good men in the mall.
Yeah, you told me about it. Mighty fine movie.
No, I meant I saw a few good men walking around the mall. You know, they look kind of... Like they knew what they were. Well, okay. I know. You know about the movie.
Don't be gay.
Sorry?
Don't be gay, sir. Don't be gay.
I was saying, I saw a few good. Why are you putting sexual innuendos in something I say?
Because I thought you meant the movie.
What? The movie's not about gay people, is it?
No, you said.
It's about the Marines.
A few men. It's
oh, wait a minute.
Movie. They said, sir.
About the Marines. We all know.
Times, like you said last week.
We all know what goes on in the Marines, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. I mean, they shave their heads for
I
a
don't.
Reason. You don't?
Nope.
Well...
I'm with the Italian army. We have many, many war heroes.
Uh-huh. Well, I can't get into it. It's a state secret. That's it. That's why I can't get into it.
Okay.
But there's all kinds of parties they have. Yes. That's it. Parties.
Parties? Are they any good?
From what I hear, they could write books about them. In fact, several people have tried. They just can't get the words out. But if they ever did, there'd be stories to tell.
What kind
and they'd
of
write
books
about
they serve
them.
These parties?
I don't know. I've never been to one. The Marines see fit to keep me out of their particular affairs.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty exciting to me.
Yes, I suppose it is. Listen, I want to thank you for calling. Say hi to... Well, I guess you can't say hi to Sammy for me, but if you find him, say hi to him.
Well, I'd like to say one more thing.
All right, go ahead.
I'd like to thank my grandmammy and my grandpappy for the peanut brittle. That was very nice of them.
I'm glad somebody remembered the peanut brittle.
Gave me the A&T brand peanut brittle.
Uh-huh.
And, Sammy, I have a 2x4 with your name on it.
Okay, well, Sammy, you better go and check that out. Thanks very much for updating us on his health, I guess, is the best way to phrase that. And we're here at 632-6901 WUSB Stony Brook Brain Damage. You know what? This is the last show of 1992. I figured I'd let that set in for a couple of seconds, because it's... It's true. The last show of 1992. I don't know if anybody's really thought of that before, but next year? I mean, next week. Oh, next week will be next year. Brand new year, 1993, from what I'm told. Just won't be the same. Won't be the same at all. -4 degrees. Yeah, it's gone down even more. Hey, check it out. We're over to the leftmost column of the Fahrenheit-Celsius conversion chart. There's three columns altogether, and we're all the way on. We just moved. See, -3 is the top of the second column. -4 is the bottom of the first column. So we're over. And now I know it's winter. -4, which converts to 25 in the Celsius scale. I mean, 25 on the Fahrenheit scale. 25 on the Celsius scale converts to 77 on the Fahrenheit scale, and it's certainly not 77 degrees outside, is it? But for those of you that are wondering, the very first entry on our column to the left is -30 Celsius, which converts to -22 on the Fahrenheit scale. Yeah, -22. Most intriguing there. And the uppermost limit is 50 degrees Celsius, 122 on the Fahrenheit scale. We've never had to read that one. You know, that list has been up for as long as I can remember. I mean, it was typed such a long... It was typed and we had a typewriter. That's how long ago it was. A manual typewriter. I mean, somebody took the trouble of tabbing all of the numbers. And they did that so many times. And it's been up here for 20 years or so. It's just incredible. The efforts of past civilizations and people who have walked in your shoes before you, those efforts will not go unnoticed. My friends, that's what we're here for. All right, it's almost 1 o'clock, 632-6901. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Eric, I give you two guesses who it is.
This isn't Sammy, is it?
You guess that we won't get.
You know, you sound like Sammy. Are you really Sammy?
But yeah, I used to call you way back. It's 2 years at least I haven't talked to you. I live upstate now.
You do live upstate.
But I come down for the holiday period.
Uh-huh.
And I went to my mother's house.
Uh-huh.
And I live upstate, and I can't get your station.
Sammy, you know, I can read through certain people's voices sometimes, and I can tell by the sound of your voice that a lot has happened since the last time I've talked to you.
Oh, if I could only tell you the half of it, that I can't stay on that long.
Yeah, well, why don't you give us the CNN headline news version?
Okay, well, I moved upstate and I work with the commission now. I got a good job.
Uh-huh.
I live right on the river.
You live on the river, huh?
Yeah, like the Delaware River.
Really?
It's beautiful there.
The Delaware River is in upstate New York?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Like between Pennsylvania.
I always thought it was between Pennsylvania and Delaware, but then again, what do I know?
It's a long river.
Yeah, I guess it is. You know, the Mississippi River goes, I hear that goes to Tibet at one point, but it goes all over the place.
Yeah, but even being long-winded as you are, I'd like to invite you up there sometime.
Uh-huh.
Would you come up?
Oh, sure. You know, upstate New York is a fun place to be. You've got mountains and hills and things.
Yeah, he's showing. I never call your show because I can't hear it.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what you can do? And I should point this out to other people. You can call a special phone number and listen to our show anytime you want.
There's a number like that?
Yes, there is. You just call up the number and you will hear whatever is on the air.
Could you give us that number?
Yes, the next thing I will say will be that phone number. That phone number is area code 516-689-1662. Repeat, area code 516-689-1662.
I heard that.
Okay.
Hey, you know what show I do call, though?
What's that?
That you can listen to because it's on WABC.
What's that?
It's a Lynn Samuels show. Lynn tomorrow Samuels. Night, Sunday night.
Lynn Samuels, yes. Lynn Samuels is a cool person, I think.
It's from 8 o'clock to 10.
Uh-huh.
And she's a good friend of mine, too, like you were.
Uh-huh.
I hope you might be a new good friend anyway now.
Well, is she really a good friend? Because she's a good friend of mine, too. Not a good friend of mine, but a friend of mine.
You know her? Whatever happened to other people from 8 to 9, like the doomsayer?
I don't know. I don't know where they've all gone.
Because
you know?
I come back one other time. I tried listening to your show, and you had moved the show, and I thought you'd been thrown off there.
No, I didn't move the show.
They moved the show.
The government moved the show.
Why did the government move it?
Because I think the government also took Doomsayers and all these other people away. It's just part of the whole thing, you know?
Do those kids still call?
I'm filing a report on it, though. I have to go to Interzone and take care of all this. But never mind that. That's not your problem. That's my problem.
Well, I hope the new year is good for Eric.
Yeah, it's called 1993. It's supposed to be pretty much like this one, but a little bit different, you know, just so that we can sort of move ahead. I think that's the theme of it, is moving into the future or something like that. But supposedly it's a nice one, you know?
Did you vote for Ross Perdue?
No, I didn't. I did not.
I did.
Yes? And, well, were you happy with his performance?
He's a funny guy, and I think he may have been a little bit sincere, but the other two crummy people, we got one of them.
Yeah, well, we did. You know, I think he's going to turn out okay. I mean, the cabinet he's announcing is a really promising one.
Well, two people in his cabinet have already been pardoned.
Two people in his cabinet have been pardoned?
Yeah.
Who?
I can't think of the names, but they're part of his administration, and they were also part of Iran-Contra, even though they were Democrats.
Really?
That was in the paper.
I'll have to check into that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was on the news, too. Lynn Sammy said something about it this morning.
Uh-huh.
And that's a shame. So at least they're not guilty of something already.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, it gives them sort of a head start in politics if they're, if they've got their foot in the basket already.
I think they'll probably be just as crooked as anybody else. It's like in Suffolk County here.
Don't even get me started with Suffolk County. You know, I want to tell you something, okay, Sammy? I want you to listen, because you'll understand this.
Okay.
I was standing in a delicatessen, all right, last Monday evening, and I happened to look at a local newspaper, and I saw in the local newspaper, hey, there's a town board meeting, a town planning board meeting on building the hypermarket on the intersection of Route 347 and Nichols Road. Actually, not the hypermarket, but it's by the same people that wanted to build the hypermarket. And I'm like going crazy, saying, didn't we just go through all this? Didn't we speak loudly enough and say we don't want that land developed? We don't want to destroy our drinking water? And, you know, we asked nicely for them to go away, and they did. And now here it is happening all over again. But, you know, of all the local newspapers we had, not one of them saw fit to print the time or place of this town board meeting. So I had no idea where it was. I thought it might be at the, you know, where they have the town board meetings. And I went all the way down there into Medford, but it wasn't there. And nobody knew where it was. It was a big secret. So I don't know what the situation is. If anybody has information on that, they can call in. But it annoys me, you know, how they just ramrod these things through. And, you know, it's all history by the time you read about it.
Suffolk County is all going downhill. It's like shoveling against the tide to try to stop it.
Yeah, it sure is. And the tide sure taught us a thing or two a few weeks ago. And I think people should take note of that, because that's the fury of nature speaking. And you can't keep destroying nature. You can't keep building barriers and expecting them to hold up against the forces, because you just will lose every time.
Yeah, all the rich people lost their beachfront houses out in Eaton's Neck.
I don't feel an ounce of pity, because if you put your house on a beach, it's going to get wet. If you put your house on a cliff, it's going to fall over. It's very simple. It makes perfect sense, and I don't see why they don't understand that.
No. And then they're going to have to evacuate them and bring in food with a helicopter. They'll probably bring in caviar for them.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they can do what they wish, but just don't expect to destroy any more land to, to accomplish greed.
I'm active myself in a conservation upstate.
Uh-huh.
I work for a conservation place.
Uh-huh. Well, conservation is good.
Yeah, it works good, too. This is kind of a strange place, but, you know, I clean the place. I keep the place okay.
Uh-huh.
They got animals there. I feed the animals.
You feed the animals?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. Animals do deserve to be fed. Don't feed them too much, though. We don't want a lot of fat wildlife.
Are you feeding the animals out in Stony Brook?
Who told you about that?
No one told me nothing.
Okay, well, there's no witnesses to that anyway.
I have cut my apron strings to Long Island, and I want to come back here and see my parents. They're very old.
Uh-huh.
No, they're very old.
Yeah? Older than you, I imagine.
Oh, quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, it works out like that sometimes.
That's what happened. My mother used to go to school with Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc? Well, that is pretty old, isn't it?
Damn right.
Wow. She has stories to tell, I'll bet.
My father got fired from building the pyramid.
Well, you know, there's a lot of bad things associated with that, so I'm not surprised.
Not that old.
Well, it didn't matter if he was old or young. You know, they oppress people of all ages.
Well, I got to go, because I got a cold. You can hear my voice, right?
You got a what?
I got a cold.
You got a cold.
I got five.
A cold, yes. You have a cold. Okay, well, then you go, and it's good hearing from you. Hopefully we'll hear from you again before a few years.
Well, no, I'll be gone. But if I send something to the radio station, you would get it?
If it's sent care of brain damage, WUSB, State University of New York, at Stony Brook, New York, 11794, yeah, I'll get it.
Okay, because I'll send you a map. If you can come up, we got a place to stay for you.
Okay. Well, thanks for the offer.
Yeah, I'll take a lead, Eric.
All right, be good. That was the voice of Sammy, one of our first callers from years ago. It's sure good to hear a familiar voice again. Okay, we do seem to be getting lots and lots of phone calls here, so I'm going to open up the auxiliary lines at 632-6500. Let's do that right now. Okay. So 632-6901, if that's busy, call 632-6500, and just let it ring and ring and ring, because we solemnly swear we'll get to everybody that's currently calling in. Yeah. We'll try anyway. We'll do our best. Our very best. Which I know isn't good enough for a lot of people, but that's just the way it is. But I'll tell you, this whole conservation thing has really, really got me upset, because it just seems to be this thought that you can just keep building shopping centers and malls everywhere you go. We don't need any more. I don't care what they're planning on building on the corner of Nichols Road and Route 347. We don't need it. We have enough of them, whatever they are, that they're planning on building. Office complexes, right within a stone's throw of this place, must be about 100 vacant offices. Shopping centers, department stores, there's huge vacant ones lying all over the place. Why not use those? Well, we know why, because the people that want to build these ones don't own those ones, and they won't make a profit if those ones are full. So the only way they can make a profit is to build other ones. Forget about the ones that are lying empty. Let's build another one so the land will pay off for us personally. Well, it's time that we stop thinking like that. It really is. The land is not here for us to make a profit off of. The land is here for us to survive with. We cannot destroy the land to survive, and we cannot destroy the other creatures that live with us. We have to remember that, and if you remember that, make sure you remind somebody else, whether it's by going to a town board meeting, if you can decode the message and find out where they are, or by writing letters, calling radio shows, picketing, making phone calls, talking to other people. I think in this particular radio program, we've shown that you can make a difference, but you have to start talking. That's the only thing you got to do. It's 10 minutes after 1 o'clock, 632-6901. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Not much. How are you?
I just saw the commercial to the Amy Fisher story thing.
I can't believe it's on TV already.
I know, that's what I couldn't believe either. I was very surprised.
When's it on? Tomorrow?
Today. Yeah, Monday, yeah.
It's on Monday. My God.
Four.
This is the NBC one. I understand all three networks have Amy Fisher stories.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe it's on already.
Now, let me ask you something. If this took place, say, in Harlem, where somebody was allegedly seeing a younger woman who was married, and this younger woman went to this older man's wife and shot her, do you think it would make anything past page 34 of the local newspaper?
Probably not.
Of course not. I don't know what it is, why people feel this fascination because it's happening in white suburbia.
I really can care less about it.
I couldn't care less about it.
I'm probably not going to watch the movie.
I mean, it's not good for anybody. It's not good for the victims. It's not good for the accused. It's not good for us, because it makes us stupid. It really does.
I mean, it really didn't fascinate me like it did fascinate everyone else. I don't know what the big deal was about it.
And what's the deal with these scriptwriters? They can't think of something like that themselves. They can't sit around their conference tables and say, hey, let's make a story about someone who shoots somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of person can shoot somebody else? Let's have a young person shoot an old person. Let's have an old person shoot a young person. Let's have an old person shoot an old person. They must have all the scenarios by now. But they need for something to happen in real life for them to say, oh, this is what the story is going to be all about.
Yeah, but that must have happened before in like some other case.
Sure, it must have happened a lot of times.
I know, so what's the big deal about this one?
I have no idea. The only thing...
Maybe because she's somewhat good-looking, I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but the thing is... You know, apparently they need to have that little asterisk staple to it saying, as happened in real life, or something like that. That makes it all worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
But how are they going to tell the same story three different times?
No, it'll be like kind of cool, though, to see like the difference in each movie.
Yeah, I guess. I guess you could analyze and maybe...
Well, maybe I'll watch them then. I just want to see the difference in each movie.
All right. Then this sounds like fun. We'll tape all three of them and get three VCRs and three TV sets and play them all at once and compare them as they unfold. And say, well, they're up to, the sex scene here, but this one, they're still on their high school years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, aren't there more important things we could be thinking about? Not that this isn't important to the people involved, but is it this important to everybody else in the world?
And it just... The whole story just doesn't go away. It was on the news again tonight.
I can just imagine that there's probably somebody out there thinking, you know, I'm in a similar situation. And, you know, I guess if I shoot somebody now, maybe I can make some money off the film rights, or, you know, maybe someone is hoping to get shot, you know, who's part of this kind of a situation,
yeah,
hoping that they'll get some residuals from it. So we live in a sick society where you get residuals from being involved in a crime.
It's just so annoying, this whole case. I just wish it would go away.
Uh-huh. But, you know, I think everybody does. I really do.
Well, some people, like, they call up this show and they like, want to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to go away. It's, like, it's boring.
Uh-huh.
I've heard it for months now. There's, like, so many, we got, like, you know, Marines over in Somalia. I'd rather hear about that on the news.
Oh, I'm sure you'll get your fair dose of stories like that. What do you think of that, by the way? Is that a good thing they're doing?
Didn't you mention something last week, like we're doing something wrong?
Well, I'm sure we're doing something wrong, but I think for the most part, it's good to see Marines handing out food rather than destroying cities.
Over there, right? And then everything's going to be fine when we're over there. And when we leave, it's not going to be fine again.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's painful, but countries have to grow, and they have to figure things out on their own. And at this stage, things are so desperate that I guess they really do need a hand. I'm kind of concerned with what it's going to make us believe in the future. For instance, next time another country is in trouble, do we just automatically go in without even thinking about it because, you know, we're good at it now? And
this is just the way we are.
Yeah, it's, you know,
we're the police of the world now.
Well, I think with the case of Somalia, it makes sense, but maybe not for the next country. Maybe it'll be a little bit more complicated.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if you are the strongest country in the world, you have to be the kindest country in the world, too. And you have to, you know, help out people that need help. Like, you know, I saw a cop today giving somebody a jump, you know, with their car. And that's, you know, some people might say, oh, that's a waste of time for a cop to be doing. But, you know, cops are here to help.
Mm.
They really are.
Yeah.
And it's good for them. It's good for us. It's good to interact and to realize that we're all kind of on the same side. So it's that kind of thing, you know, we need to see more of.
You know what's disturbing, though?
What's that?
I think Clinton's cabinet is somewhat disturbing.
What's disturbing about his cabinet?
Well, he, like, was running this whole campaign, how it's not going to be, like, you know, like the way it was with Bush and Reagan and stuff like that. But he's picked basically a bunch of Washington insiders.
You think so? Well, he picked Ron Brown, didn't he? Democratic
Lloyd Benson.
What?
Lloyd Benson.
Uh-huh.
I mean...
Yeah, Benson we all knew was going to be...
Leon Panetta, he's a Washington insider. I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean, I don't know the whole list, but I mean...
Yeah.
And I just think... It was just a real hoax for the whole campaign. I mean, not that I believe, like, all politicians, and I don't believe most of them, but, I mean, I really feel he fooled America.
I don't know. You know, he picked certainly a lot of women, and...
But you know what? He was pressured to do that.
But, I mean, he didn't just pick a couple of token people. He picked a lot.
Yeah.
He picked a fair amount of minorities, too. It just seems like, you know, he's going to get some good people out of this. Like, for instance, the person he named for the Secretary of the Interior, Bruce Babbitt, right, former Arizona governor, he's a committed environmentalist. He's the Sierra Club recommended him. Now, if the Sierra Club is comfortable with somebody in that position, I'm very comfortable with that person, at least.
Yeah,
I don't know about all the others, but...
Probably recommended that, though.
They did, yes.
Oh, I'm saying, well, Gore might have had something to do with that, because Gore's already environmentally...
But just compare that person to say, James Watt, you know? And he's 180 degrees away from that, so it's gotta be something positive.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't trust the man, and I don't think. I hope he does a good job, but
well,
I don't think he will.
I think you're wise not to trust, but to sort of look with a skeptical eye.
Yeah.
You always have to assume
I think we'll
the
be
worst.
Seeing Jack Kemp in about 4 years.
You think so?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens, but it's interesting, and I sense a form of hope. You know, being spread around. I mean, we've been through a lot of bad things in the last few years, and it just seems like things might be getting better.
Yeah,
I sure hope so.
I was reading something that the biggest issue on with the election.
Yeah.
Wasn't an issue, the economy. It was in 1991. We were officially out of recession.
1991.
Yeah, I read it. I think in the Times the other day.
Uh huh.
I think it was Tuesday.
Well, I know people that are practically 1993, and they still haven't felt the effects of 1991.
Yeah, but, you know, just like, it was, you know, we were officially out of recession. We were obviously still hurting, but we were officially out of recession.
Yeah.
But,
we're rearing our heads out of it, in other words.
Yeah. But, 1996, I think, what do you think of Kemp? Do you like him?
I'd have to say I don't really know enough about him yet.
I would have voted for Bush.
I like his name.
But, I'm not, a die-hard conservative, but, I am a Republican, but I like him because he's a moderate.
Yeah.
I don't really like liberals. We had 12 years of conservatism, and, it worked to some, worked somewhat.
Well, it worked for some people, but I don't think it worked for most people.
Yeah, but,
I mean, this whole trickle-down thing.
I think Reagan really did worse than Bush, even though we had better years under him.
Well, he had twice as much time to prove himself, too.
Yeah, I think he did worse than Bush, though. I don't think Bush was a bad president. I just think that, what could he really have done to get us out of recession?
I don't know. I don't really know the economy that well to say what he could have done. And I agree, he did. He held the office well, but I don't think I agree with just about anything he did, but... he presented himself well.
Yeah.
And he was able to cover up very well. I mean, this whole Iran-Contra thing, to think that we haven't gotten to the bottom of it yet and now probably never will, It's genius when you think of it.
Yeah.
It really is.
I'm wondering what kind of scandals the next office will bring.
I mean, the fact that, Nixon pardoned Hoffa, it shouldn't really surprise us because I guess they sort of compare tactics as to how they're going to go about their various business deals.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of a mutual respect kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. But, the next election will be interesting because, it's now the Democrats, owning Washington, and it's now their mess up if they do mess it up,
Yeah.
So, this year, it kind of seemed, the Democrats were the good guys.
Yeah.
And the next election, it might seem differently.
We'll have to see, but don't forget, this is 12 years of Republican rule.
Yeah.
And before that, it was only 4 years of Democratic rule, and before that, it was what? 8 or so years of Republican. So, Democrats have a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah. But, it'll also be fun to listen to Rush Limbaugh so he can trash Clinton.
Yeah. Oh, it is fun to listen to him. I've listened to him a couple of times.
I think it's pretty interesting.
He's a fun... I'd like to debate him one day.
Would you?
Yeah, definitely. But that's far away in the future, but...
He's
a fun person. He's a fun person to listen to.
Think he could win, though?
Sure. It depends, it depends what you resort to.
Yeah.
But he's a colorful radio person. You should stick to radio, though, I think.
Yeah, he wouldn't be good. He'll stick to radio because there's more money involved.
Well, he's got a TV show. That's why I say that.
Oh, and...
He's doing the Stern routine, where you think if you're good on radio, you could be good on TV as well.
He writes, too, I think.
Uh-huh.
And he's making a lot. He'll make more money in TV and radio than he will in politics.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to run for anything.
No, well, he couldn't win. He's way too conservative to win.
Yeah.
He's getting close to, Nazi level to win.
I don't know about that.
Oh, not that. He's not close to Buchanan, but he's very conservative.
Yeah. Well, he presents himself well, and he's funny.
Yeah, he is.
And that's what makes the difference a lot of times.
I listened to him on Election Day. It was pretty funny.
Uh-huh. I'm going to move on. Thanks for calling.
All right, sure.
All right. 632-6901, 632-6500. Good morning.
Hello?
How you doing?
Hi, what's up?
Not a whole lot.
Okay.
How are you?
I have a story to tell. Okay, I'm a recovering alcoholic.
Okay.
And,
How old are you?
What?
About how old are you?
21.
21, okay.
And I drank a lot when I was, 18, 20. And I'm seeing some relatives for New Year's Eve, and they always rub it in, And, what should I do? I really don't want to see them, What should I do?
You don't want to see them. Now, do these people come to your house?
I'm going over there.
Okay. Why?
What?
If you don't want to see them, why are you going over there?
Well, my mother wants me to go.
Uh-huh.
And I tell her, I'm my own man now.
Where's that effect, right?
She just says that she wants me to go.
Uh-huh. Well, you don't have to do anything you don't want. If you're 21, you're really, fully capable of doing whatever it is you want.
Well, they might come over here.
Uh-huh.
And,
Well, now, give me an idea of how bad this will be with your relatives.
Hey, Herman,
You don't have to give us names, but just tell us, you know, the general...
My name is Herman. Okay, and they,
Your name is Herman?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, they always have, like, you know, once in a while you have a drink on New Year's, right?
Uh-huh.
They say, hey, Nerm.
Nerm?
Yeah, that's what they call me.
Okay.
And would you like, a drink? And I go, okay, just a little one. And they give me the whole bottle of Sambuca.
Well, these are your relatives doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why, first of all, does your mother see your relatives doing this to you, a recovered alcoholic?
Yes.
And what does she say about this?
She says, stop being a baby.
To you?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Herman.
And the oil, like, they, say you want to drink a beer, and they put, like, a whole six-pack in one big...
Okay.
You're nuts.
Your relatives have got a problem, which you have gotten over. You've managed to solve this problem, and you understand what the problem was.
My uncle with a pen once.
Uh-huh. The only way you're going to stay, you know, out of this particular problem is if you stay away from people like that. And even if they are your relatives, you owe nothing to them. And I suggest, I mean, do you have friends?
What?
Do you have friends that understand you?
Yeah.
Friends that know what it's like, you know, the troubles you've gone through, and know that it's the worst thing you can do is give alcohol to somebody who is a recovered alcoholic, right?
They're all rich style. My cousins are rich and everything.
What does that have to do with it?
What
does that have to do with it?
So, you know, they're the type that would do anything for a laugh, you know?
Yeah.
Once they, actually, this Christmas that just passed, they gave us surprise. I was by myself, right?
Uh-huh.
And they got a big champagne bottle that is as big as a two-story house. I swear to God.
Well, that's...
I did to my house.
Well, you know, these rich people, they are a barrel of laughs. We all know that. We all love them. But, you know, it's time sometimes to go and find the real people, and there's plenty of them around. Believe
yeah.
me. Take
well,
my word for it.
Got me a shirt. That said, help me, I'm a drunk.
Uh-huh. Well, you sound like a wonderful group of people, but spend the New Year's with your friends. And don't worry about the aftershocks, about what your mother will say, about what your relatives will say.
My friends smoke pot, though. I don't know what to do.
Well, yeah, first of all, you're not a pot addict. You're an alcoholic, so, you know, one bridge at a time. But stay away from that, too. I mean...
They try to put me into smoking it, too.
So, all right, now you're telling me your friends are also pressuring you to do bad things as well as your relatives.
You're getting pressure, but my most conserved through the relatives, because of the New Year's coming up, you know, that's what's really, you know, but I do get pressured to take pot.
Uh-huh. Well, look, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. You really don't. And... people will, I mean, I know it sounds like Ann Landers, but people will respect you more if, you know, you stand up for yourself. You can still have fun. You can still be a fun person. You don't have to do what everybody else is doing. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it. If people get angry at you, then just leave. Don't deal with them. You don't have to.
Okay, and listen to this.
Okay.
I got a small house, right?
Uh-huh.
It's really small. And I had a Santa Claus outside.
Yeah.
And it was wired to a tree, this little ugly tree in front of my house.
Uh-huh.
And just, I think it was an hour ago, I was sitting on my couch, and I heard like a car, like a really loud car, but I always hear a lot of cars. And I looked out my window, and there was nothing there. I go out, and my Santa Claus is gone, and this is after Christmas. How someone could be so cruel to take a Santa Claus, and it's after Christmas. I mean, they'll get no money for it. It's not Christmas.
Yeah, well, I guess they're planning for the next year, but, you know, I mean, people do a lot of messed up things.
Okay, so, that's not the end. So I get in my van, and I drive around.
You're looking for your Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I see this teenager, and he's got it. And I knew it was it because my Santa Claus had a black nose.
Uh-huh. Yeah, not too many black-nosed Santa Clauses around anymore.
Yeah. And, so I get out of my car and I say, hey! You know, in a loud shriek.
Like that, hey.
And, okay. He turns around and says, what the...
And fill in, yes, the word of your choice.
Hey.
Yeah.
And, I said, hey!
Okay, once you established what you said and he heard you, what did he say?
And I go, that's my Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
And I suggest that you give it back before I get rational. And he pushed me, and I pushed him, and we were in a little pushing gallery.
Pushing gallery, yeah, okay.
And this dude broke it up, and the guy grabbed my arm, right?
Yeah.
And he, like, pushed my face to the tree. And I took a plug and I jammed him in his face. And there was blood all over. So I took my Santa Claus. And then he grabbed me. And he was strangling me. And I kicked him. And I get in my car. I get my Santa Claus. And,
he was strangling you with the cord of the Santa Claus? And you were stabbing him with the plug? That's incredible. I mean, Santa Claus, for God's sake. I mean, did you think about that? Santa Claus?
Okay.
You know,
so
bringer of gifts.
Okay, oh. So that's...
I mean, he's not supposed to be a weapon, you know?
Santa
supposed...
did.
Uh-huh. Well, I, you know...
And he goes, one more move, Santa dies. And, you know, I took a step,
uh-huh.
And he takes an axe and jams the Santa in his hat.
All right. Listen, I have a suggestion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is what you do. You get a notepad, you get a piece of paper, okay? And you take notes and you write down everything that happens to you in the course of, say, a week. And you do this once a week, and you send it into Hollywood, and you'll have a weekly TV show. You'll make $1 million. Nirvana from the new one, Incesticide. A new album with old songs. That's a different version, New Wave Poly. Well, I'll tell you, that was one of the most interesting calls I've ever gotten from Herman out there. And, yeah, take my advice, please. Send in those stories. This will make a dynamite show. You can, I don't know, call it Herman's Head or something like that. Never before done. 132, program is Brain Damage. Yeah, that's what the next song sounds like, but we're not going to listen to that. We're going to listen to the next caller, 632-6901, 632-6500. Good morning.
Yeah, how's it going? You got a lot of strange people calling your show.
There are a lot of strange people. Are you going to add to the list, or...
I'm not that strange. I just want to ask you a question.
Okay.
On the full order of issue 92 of 2600, what is the cover supposed to mean?
What you're asking what the cover to the magazine I'm involved with the Hacker Quarterly, what that is supposed to mean. I don't even know what it looks like. Describe
it
to me.
Get up, stand up on it, and a judge is like slamming down a mallet.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of interpretations. I mean, I'm not the person that does the covers. I'm involved in part of the, you know, conspiracy-making process. But as far as to what it actually means, it means different things to different people, seriously.
What's your handle in that magazine? Because I didn't see any articles written by you.
Well, you know, I sort of do things behind the scenes.
So basically, what do? You just, like, edit things?
Well, edit things. My job is to do what needs to be done. And that's I take that seriously, and I do it, too.
That's cool.
But there's other people that do things. In fact, there's other people doing things even as we speak.
So who wrote the virus, then?
Who wrote the virus? That's the question that they'll never get the answer to. You know, because everybody wants to know who wrote the virus. But nobody is saying.
Do you need the teleconference?
Well, it's kind of late to start a teleconference. Tell you what, we'll try that next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, the first thing that we'll do in 1993 will be a spontaneous act of goodwill.
Well, you can do a teleconference right now, because I really want to talk to someone.
Well, I'm sorry. We're not doing it now. When we do teleconferences, we start at the beginning of the show. We don't start when there's only 25 minutes left, because there's people waiting to say interesting things on the air. But I promise you, next week...
Fuck you up.
Unless I get angry. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah?
I got this problem. I don't know. Maybe you could help me?
I doubt it.
Well, a couple weeks ago...
Uh-huh.
I was in my house and my parents went Christmas shopping, and I was home alone.
I just saw that film last night for the first time, but never mind. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was by myself.
And, yeah.
Well, I was like, I didn't know they were gonna come home so early. They were supposed to be out for a long time.
Uh huh.
And they kind of came in early from Christmas shopping, and they caught me masturbating.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Like, when I come home, I just run up to my bedroom. I don't know. Like, I don't want to see anybody.
Well, let me ask you, why weren't you there to start with?
What?
Why weren't you there in the first place, you know? I mean, that's the kind of thing where you need a bit of privacy, don't you think?
Yeah, well, I didn't know they were going to come home so early.
Uh-huh. So you kind of thought you were safe.
Yeah.
Well, now, you don't have to answer this, but tell me, what was it they said?
Well, my brother came in first.
Uh-huh.
He saw me, and but my parents came in later because they were bringing in packages.
Yeah.
And as he came in, he saw me, and I was just pulling my parents off of it.
Yeah, what did he say?
He's telling me, quick, come here. And I was trying to get my pants off, and
uh-huh.
I thought I was going to die.
Uh-huh. Well, now, has there been any action taken against you?
No.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
Well, everybody, tries to keep it quiet except my brother, you know. He told some of my friends that I hang out with
uh-huh.
about it, and he's being really mature.
Yeah. Well, do you think your brother has ever done anything like that?
Yeah, but...
Do you think your parents have ever done anything like that?
I don't know.
They have, trust me. Everybody has. It's no big deal. The only big deal is that you happen to get caught at it. It was embarrassing, but I'll bet there's 100 people out there listening now that have similar stories. It's, you know, this just happened when?
Oh, a couple weeks ago. A
couple of weeks ago? I mean... You shouldn't be upset about it anymore. You really shouldn't. It's not a major deal. It's just something that happens this particular time of your life. How old are you?
16.
Well, I mean, it's the kind of thing that happens. And, you know, I don't think anybody in your family, except maybe your brother who's a bit of a jerk, is making a big deal out of it. But, you know, this is going to, believe me, more embarrassing things will happen in the future, not just involving you, but involving other people. And this will be forgotten. Trust me. But,
right,
you know, don't let it affect you. Don't hide in your room.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
All right. Hang in there. You know, when you look back on it, you realize that the things that that we get upset and worried about are really not things to get upset and worried about. You know, we think that whatever is happening to us is the worst possible thing that could happen to anybody. In actuality, it's something that other people have been through 1,000 times before us. Of course, it doesn't really help when you're going through it, I know. It helps when you're looking back on it a few years later. But that's just one of the many ironies of life, I guess. 138-632-6901, 632-6500. Good morning.
Hi.
How you doing?
Have a nice Christmas.
Oh, it was okay. I can't complain. But I'm glad it's over.
I know. What'd you do?
Oh, just hung out with some friends, you know. Did the mellow kind of a thing.
Same here.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I don't really get all that excited about these things anymore. So, well, yeah, I don't hate it. It's just, I kind of hate what leads up to it, what surrounds it, and, you know, all the hype. All the...
It's pretentious and fake.
Yeah, I think you should separate the religious part of it from the commercial part of it. Maybe have two different holidays. That way the people that are religious can get into one part of it, and everybody else can just, like, buy things, and people who don't want to buy things can just skip that part of it.
Did his voice put the word Jesus on their cover?
Really?
Really. I haven't gotten the article yet, but what? I saw it at work.
What's the headline?
Being in New Haven.
Uh-huh. Fascinating.
Yeah. I was surprised.
I'd be surprised, too. That's certainly a revelation. So, how did you spend your holiday?
Went to a movie and then had Chinese. Closed. Taco Hell was closed.
Yeah, I mean, if Taco Bell was closed, you know everything is closed. I didn't know. If I knew the Chinese places were open, I just would have made life a little nicer, I guess.
Yeah, so we had for dinner. Fun.
Uh-huh. That's good. Chinese food for Christmas, only in America.
Only in America.
Yeah. So, how are you going to spend your New Year's?
I haven't decided yet.
Yeah, I know. I haven't either.
I have to find something interesting to do.
Yeah. Well, I really can't say what... There's so much pressure to do something, you know, fun and interesting, but I just kind of like to see what unfolds.
Well, fun and interesting for some of my friends qualifies as getting wasted.
I don't find that fun and interesting. I didn't find it fun and interesting years ago. I don't find it fun and interesting now. Maybe in a few more years I'll find it interesting. Right now it just seems...
kind of boring.
Yeah, it seems kind of boring and kind of pointless and, you know, a cop-out.
And
cop
you end up feeling pretty bad the next morning anyway.
Yeah, what's the point of doing something where you're going to feel terrible the next day? It's like, you know, you have to feel really, really good to feel terrible the next day as a result of it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I never saw the point in that. It just seems like a waste.
Yeah.
And then you get dependent on it, you know, and you have to do that to have fun. That's the only way you know how to have fun. And then you just, you know, you become a professional party person. And who needs that?
You're asking me?
No, it's a rhetorical question, really.
Good.
Yeah.
Did you go away to college?
No, actually, I lived in Stony Brook and I went to Stony Brook, so I just kind of went down the road to college.
Okay, because this is kind of interesting. I saw some people who've been away at school, and I was commenting to one of my friends the other day if she thought the people that she had seen that had come back, you know, for their... winter break were any different than when they left.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, some of them are, and some of them aren't, though.
And don't let it... Don't be fooled by this for a second. When your friends go away to college, you know, and they say, oh, you know, I'll come back and the, you know, vacations and everything will be the same. It's never the same. It's never the same at all. You know, you become a stranger. And, you know, when you go away to college, your parents become strangers. And you feel uncomfortable, like you're in someone else's house when you go home. And it's just, you know, when you go away from a place, from people for an extended period of time, you become more attached to other people, and then you kind of forget what the first people were like in the first place. You know, it's a fact of life, but it's something that you should confront and you know, not kid yourself and say, oh, things will be just the same.
So then what happens?
I don't know. You make new friends or you figure out where it is you're going in life.
Yeah.
But you can never go back, you know, that's the thing.
Speaking of going forward and back, I caught something this week that scientists now say that the Earth will end in a billion years, not several million.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I was pretty worried there. A billion we have now, huh?
A billion.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's reasonable.
What?
Well, wait, is it the English billion or the American billion? You see, the English version of billion is a million times a million, whereas the American version is 1,000 times a million.
Oh, I don't know. It was on the. I was at the train station in Jamaica, and it was on one of the things.
Uh-huh. And what you're asking now is, well, what do the British call the American billion? They call it 1,000 million.
1,000 million.
Yeah,
so there is really 1,000 million.
Well, that's what they call it, but their 1,000 million is our billion. Now, I imagine this would cause all kinds of problems in the scientific community when you're talking about equations and numbers and distances and space, and you have British scientists talking to American scientists. 1,000 billion? 1,000 million? I thought you meant a billion.
Or American scientists working in the British Isles.
Uh-huh. Right, of course. I mean, it's probably the only reason why we haven't advanced into, you know, more complex things.
Because we can't agree on anything.
We don't know what we're talking about. Half of us are talking Celsius, half of us are talking Fahrenheit, the other half are talking Kelvin.
That's because the Americans are too stuck up to bother converting to any other system.
I guess we're stuck up. I guess, yeah. Half of us are stuck up, the other half are held up. It's just the way it is.
What?
Yeah.
I'm getting you, like, 2 seconds apart because I left the radio on.
Oh, well, don't do that. Anything else on your mind? Because I got a switchboard full of calls here and only a limited time to take.
Well, I took up, like, 40 minutes last week, so let someone else have a turn.
Okay.
But have a Happy New Year.
You have a Happy New Year, too, and, you know, say hi to your friends and all that kind of thing. All right, see you next year.
Okay.
632-6901, 632-6500, good morning.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, how you doing?
How are you?
Good morning.
What's up?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No, not really.
You spend a lot of time waiting to say that there's nothing up?
No. That girl before, did you think she was 21?
Well, that girl before didn't say they were a girl. Their name was Herman, and they said they were 21. And, I reserve comment on what I think or anything like that. I just have to reserve comment on that particular one. I made my suggestion, and I'm comfortable with the suggestion I made.
She sounded like she was drunk.
Well, you know, I guess that's one interpretation. You could say that the person, if it was a he or a she, might be drunk or not drunk. It's a valid thing to say.
Oh, I don't know. She just sounded like she was drunk.
Uh-huh.
What did she say about alcoholics? What was she saying? What was she talking about?
Well, basically, she was running through, like, an entire dialogue there of all kinds of characters from the local area. And it's just happening so fast that I was overwhelmed. And I just suggested that they write down all of it and, you know, make a script out of it, because it would really be pretty good, I think.
Yeah, and me and my friend, we've been trying to call pizza shops that will deliver to us.
Uh-huh.
Because we're hungry, you know, and we wanted to get a pizza now, right?
Yeah.
So we called up the Domino's that's, like, closest to us. It's in Shirley.
Uh-huh.
And they won't deliver to us, and we're, like, the next town over. They're like, oh, we can't leave Shirley. I'm like, oh,
Shirley,
nice.
They jest.
What?
Shirley, they jest. I'm sorry, I couldn't help saying that. But don't they usually do that?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, have you ever gotten a delivery from them before?
No, it's just... We figured it's the closest to us.
Uh-huh.
We flipped that. And then we called this place in Patchogue, and we figured, why not try it? And we don't even know if they deliver, so we asked them. And so the guy goes, well, I'll deliver to you after I'm done with work.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, are you serious? He'll just come and deliver to you when you're done with work. They're like, yeah, we'll make you a pie. I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, what is this? Like, uh-huh. I don't know. It was really strange.
So is he going to do that?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah, at like 2:15 he should be here.
So there's a guy trapped. I mean, how far is Shirley from Patchogue?
Well, I'm in Brookhaven.
Okay, you're in Brookhaven. The village of Brookhaven, not the town of Brookhaven.
No, I guess the town.
I mean, you are in the town of Brookhaven, of course, as well as... Well, what do you write on your envelopes?
Brookhaven.
Brookhaven, New York, 119-something, right?
11719.
Okay. You're in the village of Brookhaven, which also is in the town of Brookhaven. But you see, Stony Brook is in the town of Brookhaven as well.
Oh, okay.
A town is second only to a county.
All right.
So okay. You're in the village of Brookhaven. I don't think we've ever gotten a call from there before.
Huh.
Now, how far is that from Patchogue?
Like five minutes.
Oh, only five? I thought he was driving across the island or something.
Well, 10 minutes maybe.
Okay. It's not that big a deal then.
No, I guess not, but it's just normally you wouldn't get somebody from there. And then I was like, well,
it just goes to show that underneath it all, Long Islanders are, you know, really nice people, or maybe they're crazy murderers. But
right, that's what I'm worried.
Whatever it is, they usually are honest about it.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but I wouldn't worry.
Yeah, I hope like it's safe and everything, that he's gonna come out here for this. I don't know.
Do you have a dog?
No.
Well, you see, he doesn't know that.
I could have my friend bark.
Have your friend bark. Now's the time to start practicing. And
Wait, hold on. Ready?
Yeah.
Go. Come on. Just do it again. You're an ass. Okay, sorry about that. She won't do it.
Okay, well, there's plenty of programs on TV. I'm sure there's a barking dog on at least one of them. And you record that and then play it back.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'll have to look.
Yeah. Or you could just explain to him that the dog has a sore throat and isn't barking.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the dog is biting. Oh, yes, the dog is biting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what else has been going on, like, tonight? Because we just, like, turned this on. Like,
we've just been talking about, you know, world events and, you know, holiday seasons and the fact that it's cold out, but it's not snowing. And
yeah, that's making me mad, actually, because I love the snow.
Yeah, why is it that when it's cold, it doesn't snow, and then when the clouds roll in, the temperature goes up and it rains?
That sucks.
Yeah, it sure does, and I'd like to know who's responsible for it, because somebody, and I think it's a Republican, is behind all this.
Oh, I got a question for you. Are you an Islander or a Ranger fan?
I'm ambivalent.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, because the Islanders beat the Rangers tonight again.
Did they? Where did they do it?
What?
Where did they do it?
Nassau.
Okay, well, I mean, that's sort of to be expected then, isn't it?
I was happy, though.
Yeah.
Because I made a bet, so.
I guess you have to be an Islander fan if you live on Long Island. That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, I'm an Islander fan. I always have been, of course.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I value my life. So,
okay. My friend might want to say something, all right?
All right.
Okay, here. Hello?
Hi. You couldn't bark like a dog, huh?
Excuse me?
You couldn't bark like a dog.
No.
All right. Okay, I guess you have your limitations.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind?
Not much, really. Just wait for the pizza to come.
Yeah? Is this a plain pie with nothing on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one of those. In fact, I had one earlier tonight, and half of it is still there.
Oh.
It's still there in the box. It's congealing, and it's all, I don't know, it's just sitting there, unless the dog ate it. But, you know, when you get a pizza, it can last for a long time if you're careful.
Uh-huh.
It can last for weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's probably in the oven right now, or he's probably taking it out of the oven now and getting ready to close up shop, and in 25 minutes it'll be there.
I have another call right now.
Another call? Oh, you have a call waiting?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll let you go then.
Why would someone be calling me at this time?
It's probably the pizza man.
No, I hope not. I hope he doesn't have my number.
He's *69 you.
Oh, God, please, no. I'm scared.
Good luck. We'll be reading the papers.
Okay.
All right, take care.
All right, good night.
Now, in actuality, she probably has nothing to worry about, but, yeah, definitely. He's *69 for sure. No question about that. Okay, I don't think we're going to have time for too many more calls, so if you haven't called already, if you haven't dialed your number, don't bother. Good morning.
Eric, we can get a copy of that song, the theme song.
The theme song to this show.
Where'd you buy that?
I got this in Chicago.
Oh.
But you don't have to go to Chicago. I just happened to be in Chicago when I found it. No, it's a soundtrack to a film called Powakatsi.
Oh, well,
I'll spell that for you. I will spell that for you. Powakatsi. It came out back in 1988. It's got Philip Glass music on it, and it's a sequel to Kyanuskatsi.
Uh-huh.
And there's a film that's going to come out after it, too, which hasn't happened yet.
Do you want to kill the Encyclopedia Britannica guy?
Didn't someone else take care of that?
No, I want to kill him.
Yeah, I do, too. I wanted to kill him when he was little.
Do you know when?
Because I knew he was going to get bigger and more obnoxious.
Do you know where he lives?
I can find out.
Well, you think, hack into some computers and find out.
Yeah, well, I think it might be in the encyclopedia, don't you? Yeah.
Oh, good.
We'll look into it. Well, I mean, this is something to help everybody, so of course we'll do what we can.
How many different hosts have there been of this show?
Matt,
you, and who else?
I don't know if there's been many others on a regular basis. It's really just me and Matt.
Are you going to start experimenting with new people?
Well, if new people come along, we'll experiment with them. That's what new people are for, to be experimented upon.
I think you should cut down on the time that you talk.
Uh-huh.
Getting a show.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll cut down on every other word. I'll like consider, you know, I'll leave out the articles, like and things like that. I'll just like talk about those. Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I cut out those non-essential words. You still get the meaning across. Convey meaning without wasting time. Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
What's up, Eric?
Not much. How are you?
Did you get anything good for Christmas?
Did I do anything what?
Did you get anything good?
No, not really. Nothing to write home about.
Want
to
hear something I got?
What'd you get?
I have to play it for you. It's really cool.
You got a piece of tape?
No, listen, ready?
Okay.
Listen to the cat.
Oh, wow. That's great. Is that the kind of the string?
No, they don't make that.
No. Oh, you know what to do with the kind of the string, right?
It's got. Listen again, one more time, ready?
Okay.
Listen to the cat.
Oh, you can do that. That's good. Okay, you can spin it. But the ones with the string.
Yeah,
okay.
That's old school, dude. You can't find that no more.
Yeah, but the ones with the. I was a hit at parties with this. You pull
right.
It, right? And he says, listen to the cat. And then you just. You tap the string a little bit,
and
then
it goes.
Then it goes into another animal. So it's listen to the cat, moo, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
And then
it cracks people up. It's amazing.
Yeah, because my band's using that as sampling.
Uh huh.
It's a book called Unusual Pet. We're gonna have this is the cat, and then we're gonna make a duck sound.
That's a good idea. A lot of people will recognize that.
Yeah, and then I got a book on Jeffrey Dahmer.
Uh huh.
So man, it's got pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
And he had a heart in his refrigerator before. Yeah.
Do you think President Bush would pardon him? If he asked really nicely,
I think Clinton,
yeah,
didn't make Jeffrey Dahmer the White House cook.
No,
that'd be crazy.
He definitely didn't add him to his cabinet. But imagine that if Bush pardoned some like a mass murderer or something,
yep.
Nobody could do anything.
Yep.
It would cause riots, but nobody could stop it. Yeah, he has every right to.
He can do that.
Sure.
Man, I'm gonna write a letter to Bush tomorrow.
I mean, if he can pardon some guy from 40 years ago for stealing mail. You know, a single letter or something. He can pardon a mass murderer.
Oh,
sure.
The best.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
You like him? You know all about him, right?
About who? Dahmer?
Yeah.
CNN hits me too, so I couldn't avoid it. Actually, I was in Europe when he was on trial. It was pretty embarrassing walking around the streets and seeing
CNN
everywhere.
They should make a movie about him. They should.
I think they already did, didn't they?
You know, they should make a movie about him, not Amy Fisher.
Yeah.
Amy Fisher's cool too.
Can you play the coyote for me, please?
It sounds like a Mexican, but I'll do it one more time.
You think those are real animals?
It's a record inside. Watch, I can scratch it like a CJ. Watch,
okay.
See?
I want to hear the pig.
The pig? It's a disgusting picture.
I know, it's great. Pigs don't say oink. Pigs do not go oink, I'm sorry.
Yo, can I say hi to a couple people real quick?
Make it quick, because we want to take one more call at least.
I want to say hi to Krisha and
yeah.
George, and not Sam, because she's really mean.
Okay.
And if she calls up soon, just tell her to kill herself, because she's mean. She hung up on me the other night.
Well, that's not a reason to kill yourself, though.
I know, but, and that guy Mike, they're calling, that guy's fake. Don't take calls from him. He just talks big, but he's not any good.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll try to remember that.
You have a cool show today, man. I'm surprised. I mean, normally you just talk, but it's been good.
Well, I've been on since 10 o'clock, actually, playing music and things.
Are you going to be on next week?
I have plans to, but then again, my plans really...
Teleconference. Make it a whole new year. Make it all crazy.
Yeah, we'll do the teleconferencing thing.
And then we'll have a whole section of a seat and say.
Yeah.
All right, one more time.
All right.
For the road.
Okay.
This is my interpretation of a cat getting raped.
Oh, no.
Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that good?
I'll have to remember that.
I do have a good new year and all
okay.
That stuff.
You too.
Get too messed up.
Okay, take care. Let's see how many we can get through in the last couple of minutes. Good morning.
Well?
How you doing?
Okay.
That's good. What's up?
I guess this is kind of a little late, huh?
That's a little late, but not too late. What's up?
You see, my girlfriend's like a bi.
Uh-huh.
Bisexual, you know?
Yeah.
She has it with all, right? Her best friend, you know, she's I'm gonna call.
Come on, say the words.
Well, they'd like do it together. You
yeah,
know?
Okay.
Well, she I'm gonna call wants me to do it with both of them.
Uh huh.
You know? And you know, I really don't like this girl.
Uh huh.
My girlfriend's friend.
Yeah.
And I just really don't know what to do because if I don't, you know, do it with both.
Well, I think the solution is simple: get a friend of yours that she doesn't like.
But
maybe you can pair them together.
But I want to join in with, you know, have my friend that she doesn't like. She doesn't like any of my friends anyway, so.
Well, you see, it's like playing poker, you know? You gotta know, you know, the opponent does not know when you have a royal flush and when you do not, okay? You gotta keep a poker face, and you can't reveal your hand or any other part of you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
What?
Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I gotta get going.
Yeah, okay, you get going, and I'll try to interpret what I said myself. I can't. Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi.
What's up?
You have the funniest people calling you.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think they're just normal Long Islanders.
No, the Herman person and the masturbation. I don't know, you guys are really sick out there.
Well, you know, people have their problems, and they share them with us, and we're glad they do.
I wanted to talk about, like, Amy Fisher. And,
must you?
How Joey Buttafuoco just got away with everything, really.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like.
Well, I mean, that's an interpretation. There's really no evidence other than Amy Fisher's say-so, right?
Right, but why would she just, like, shoot someone, like, you know what I mean? That if she didn't have any sexual relations with Joe. No.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying she did or didn't, but lots of times people have relationships inside their heads that don't really exist. I'm not saying that particularly happened in this case, but it does happen.
Oh. I've been listening to yourself for, like, so long, and I really didn't think I was going to get there, and, like, now I am.
Well, you did, but unfortunately we're at the end of our time, so it's kind of a bittersweet thing, I guess.
I guess. But how was your Christmas?
It was uneventful. I mean, I didn't do anything terrible this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing for New Year's?
Not sure. I know there's some kind of happening here at the radio station.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, there's all kinds of things. I mean, we just can't stop from having fun here. We just can't. I mean, people try and stop us. They've issued decrees and things like that, but we're just too good for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let you go since, like, you have to go soon, and,
Yeah, I have to go now, actually.
Okay.
I'm being prodded out of here.
I'll see you.
Okay, thanks for calling. And our time is up. The guy is up next. It's just about 2 o'clock, WUSB Stony Brook. Thanks, everybody, who called in, and glad we could get together on this cold, wintry night. It's going to get colder before it gets warmer. That's about as profound as I'm going to get tonight. So maybe we'll see each other next week. And if not, we'll see each other whenever. Good night.